receive this epistle reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. So then, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, and together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. God, for the gift of this day and the gift of joy that flows from your heart into our lives through community and so many graces, we say thank you. And as we turn now to reflect on Scripture together, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart might be acceptable to you, O God, for you and you alone are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. Is it okay to be angry? Is it acceptable to express our anger? In our reading today from the letter to the Ephesians, we hear the words, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. This epistle was written in the first century of this common era. And I doubt that we are surprised that the quandary of anger management has been around from the beginning. It's not likely to go away anytime soon. Anger is a stubborn passion in human life. It's part of the human deal. I know from experience that while there may be folks that when I asked those initial questions might say, well, of course, it's okay to be angry, and of course we have to express our anger. While that may be the thing that we know is the right answer, I know from experience that there are many who actually, when it gets right down to it, feel that it is not okay to get angry. And it's not okay to express our anger. But the scripture today says, right at the beginning, be angry. It doesn't say pretend you aren't angry. It doesn't say play the martyr and bury your anger. It doesn't say ignore your anger so that you don't have to deal with it. It says be angry. Now, this may be stating the obvious to focus on these two little words, but it, I believe, is very important if we are to begin to understand what our Christian faith has to say to us about this very real, very stubborn part of human experience. Now, let me be clear at the outset, however. This verse is not biblical permission to go around indiscriminately spewing anger. Some of you might be like, woohoo, pastor's going to tell me to let it rip. That is not the point. This letter to the Ephesians is trying to help provide the early churches with some guidance about how they might fully live into the new life in Christ that they've been given. And it is offering some ways for them to live in peace and in love together. And one of the important pieces of that is to attend to anger. So often, anger is a second emotion. That is to say, it's preceded by something else, by pain, by vulnerability, by frustration, or by grief. Think about those moments in your own life when anger erupts. How are you feeling? What is it that's happening? Insofar as this is the case, that anger tends to be a second emotion, then it can function for us as a helpful sign. That is to say, like the impulse of pain when we touch something hot, our anger can alert us that there is something deeper within us that needs attention, that needs care. Furthermore, if we never get angry, then that itself is a telling sign. Do we really care about anything? Is there nothing that we can see in ourselves or in our relationships or, God help us, in our world that makes us angry? If that's the case, then we need to pay attention for sure, because it's likely that if we're not getting angry about anything, then we're either mightily depressed or terribly apathetic, neither of which is good for us or for anyone else. So be angry. Be angry. It can be a sign that our hearts and minds are attuned to things like injustice. And it can also be a sign that leads us to some self-care. Those are good things. But I have to tell you that I don't really want to hear the words be angry. I don't want to be told to be angry. I don't want to be angry. And I have my own reasons for not wanting to acknowledge my anger, not wanting to deal with it. I don't want to have to name its source. You may have your own reasons if you feel the same way. Maybe you don't. But perhaps you grew up in a household that was full of rage. Or perhaps you were taught by example not to show your anger or to talk about it. Maybe you're afraid of the sheer force of your anger if you were to let it out. Or maybe you can't bear to admit the reason or the circumstance that causes you to be angry. Perhaps you are guilty about your anger because it comes up in your role as caregiver to a partner or parent or child. Wherever or however you find yourself receiving the words, be angry, I believe there's both comfort and challenge in them. Part of the challenge comes from the line that follows, be angry, but do not sin. And I'm convinced, and I believe that this is the point of the admonition to be angry. I'm convinced that the only way to be angry and not sin is to be mindful of our own anger. That is to say, we have to do the very thing that I don't want to do. I don't want to do this work, but we have to learn to recognize when we're getting angry. We have to learn how to be attentive to our anger, to reflect on it, to sit with it, to get to know it. We have to. Because don't we know, after all, that uncontrolled, buried, festering anger will do damage to others and to ourselves? Unmanaged anger can get projected onto other people. It can build up and then blow up way out of proportion. Does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about here? Just checking. And when we have unmanaged anger that gets turned inward on ourselves, then that can lead to depression, to all sorts of very self-destructive things. Now, while we may know all of that in our heads, I imagine that for some of us, it is very difficult for us to figure out how to live in a different way, how to try to manage our anger with love and creativity. There are resources, there is help. Just this past week, Iona Senior Services, which some of you will be aware of, which is a wonderful local organization that supports people as they experience the opportunities and challenges of aging. Iona's blog this past week provided just beautiful, helpful, basic tips on how to deal with anger. And the blog was really focused on helping folk who are dealing as caregivers with someone with dementia, but what they were talking about applies to every kind of relationship. And the beginning tips, the first two things, might seem so basic, but I'm going to name them out loud just to remind us. The first thing is to actually recognize, practice recognizing when you are getting angry. What is it that happens to you? For me, I feel my face get really hot. You know, for you, maybe you have a shortness of breath, or you feel yourself like tensing up, or you know, there you have, your stomach might start to flip or to feel different. Begin to actually recognize those signs so that you can respond and choose how to respond instead of just reacting. Really basic, really important and helpful. What is it that you can see happening when you get angry? And then the second really basic, helpful tip is make sure you understand how you tend to act on your anger. Do you respond to anger by being aggressive? Do you respond to anger by being completely passive? You just avoid it, deny it? Or do you respond to anger by being passive aggressive? Know your mode so that you can recognize when you're kicking into it and decide whether that's really the most appropriate way to respond. In addition to that, the blog on Iona's page goes on to talk about some ways to manage our anger. I commend it to you. It's easy to find online. I also want to commend to you today, as we're thinking about ways to hold and manage our anger creatively, the work of Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, which some of you might have read or studied in the past. The Buddhist practice of mindfulness is not unlike Christian practices of self-awareness and consciousness, being aware of God's presence and the presence of God in others, the practice of the sacred moment to be in the now. Thich Nhat Hanh teaches mindfulness, particularly around the work of caring for our anger. And he has worked over the years with folk who had a lot of rage and were completely, had lost all their peace because of things they had done or that had been done to them. And the practice that Thich Nhat Hanh teaches is simply sitting and watching your breath come and go and looking after the anger that is within you. Seeking not to push it down or erase it, but to attend to it, to offer it attention and care. You ever thought about, like, taking care of your anger? I mean, does that mean, just picture it for a minute. Like, what does that do to the energy of anger when you begin to say, I'm going to hold this as something that is not this terrible thing that just needs to be destructive, but it's something I can hold and care for, and then let it teach me and lead me to do whatever I need to do in a way that is loving and wise. Thich Nhat Hanh talks about that, giving it space. Give your anger space so that it can be acknowledged and cared for. He said, when we're angry, we're not with ourselves. We're totally focused on the object of our anger. We're thinking about all the hateful aspects of that person or situation, betrayal, rudeness, injustice, disregard, meanness. And we end up spewing out onto the other what is in us. And he has this beautiful saying. He says we have to come back to ourselves and look inside. That's where we begin. He says, like a fireman, we have to pour water on the blaze before we look for the one who set the house on fire. Pour water on the blaze of anger first. And then you can attend with love, with wisdom, with gentleness, with compassion, with the other. Breathing in, I know I'm angry. Breathing out, I know I must put all my energy into caring for my anger. Simple practice. So we're all good, right? Like, no, we got it down? No problem, right? It's a beginning, and it takes practice. It takes practice. But the point, of course, is to care for in community, to care for self and for others in relationship. And what we learned today from the scripture is that in order to be angry but not sin, we cannot allow our anger to be forgotten, ignored, or buried. We have to attend to it. And I think that the admonition to not let the sun go down on our anger is not just about needing to attend to our anger now. Don't put it off, but attend to it now. But I think it's also that anger not be allowed to move into the dark that is out of the light of our attentiveness. Because in that space, it can grow into something very destructive. It opens the door to the devil, that metaphorical, perhaps, power that feeds on negativity and on harbored resentment. And when left alone, that anger can feed in us self-righteousness and judgmental attitudes that make us incapable of seeing the other whom we might be angry with as someone worthy of God's care, love, or compassion. It breeds division. It breeds hatred when we don't care for our own anger and help God transform it into something that might be reconciliatory. Is that a word? Conciliatory. I just made up a word. Reconciliatory. How about that? God shows us what it looks like when righteous anger is expressed not with vengeance, but with love. We see it in the prophets, in the way that they respond, and they channel their anger to make things better, to change systems, to speak truth to power, but without doing harm and violence. We see it most powerfully in Jesus, who had every reason to be angry. Every reason to be angry. Occasionally he got angry, but he got angry at injustice. He got angry at the things that weren't the ways of God in the world. But he used his anger again to channel change. And Jesus had reasons to be angry at us, but he didn't sin. Jesus' stubborn passion was love. And that love that is freely offered to us is what feeds us and allows us to love ourselves and other people enough to attend to our own anger. There's a poetic prayer that I love entitled Holy Anger, and it includes this line. Let anger be the first note on love's ascending scale. Let anger be the first note on love's ascending scale. Loving attentiveness to our anger can be the beginning of healing, the first glimmer of a sacred calling, the birth of greater love and freedom in ourselves, and love for others, and love for God. So today I want to invite you to let your anger, whatever it is, see if you can make it the first note in love's ascending scale. You might be surprised at what happens in your relationships, in your thoughts, in your perspective, in your own heart, when you bring yourself to be in tune with the love of Christ. Amen.